Blog Talk Radio.
We ask women to smell food body washes and pick their favorite.
They both smell good.
I like me better.
Oh, you look so familiar. I know you, baby, I know the truth. We got way too much in common. Somebody like me, you wanna love somebody like me. If you can love somebody like me, you must be myself. Who wants to love somebody like me? You wanna love somebody like me. If you can love somebody like me, you must be myself. We used to talk to.
Good evening. Thank you for calling, Cricket Ward. Thank you for calling Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. Tonight we're talking about should we all be looking for someone just like us, and it may not be the best thing for us. I have with me tonight Sky and Janet Hearn and A. Michelle will be checking in with us a little later tonight. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hey, hello. I'm doing well, thanks.
I'm good. I hope everyone had a great day. Okay, remember, for everyone who's dialed in, we give the area code and the last four digits of your number, or you can give your name if you save space. And it's an open space for everyone, no matter how you identify or what walk of life you're coming from. We want to let everyone know that everyone has the right to say whatever they want. Just make sure you're respectful. I am on the road and coming in, so guys, kind of forgive me if I get a little tentative and not be so alert at the moment because I'm watching the cars on the road. I hope everyone had a great day. Tonight we're, again, talking about looking for someone just like you and how it may not be what's best for you. So, Janet, how are things going with you today?
Talking to
Janet?
Oh, I'm good. I'm great. I'm wonderful. Thank you very much for asking.
Excellent. So let's talk about some of the reasons and some of the things that could be. I know a lot of times people say that, hey, I'm looking for someone that I have a lot in common with. Because being unevenly yoked isn't, you know, productive, and you have such a mess in your relationship when, you know, you don't have a lot in common. Now, let's talk about, you know, how some of that could be a myth, and how people who have a small amount in common could go on and have a very productive and healthy relationship, just like people who have an extremely large amount of things in common? Or do you believe that people have to have things, everything in common in order to have a good relationship?
Well, I believe that I think they should have something in common, even if it's something, some type of common ground or something. Me, myself, excuse me, I don't have to have a whole lot of different things in common that we have in common. I mean, it's good if we did, but if we didn't, that's okay, as long as we have something in common that's kind of solid. With me, it would probably be the music thing, because it's such a big part of my life. If she loved music, or the type of music probably wouldn't matter so much to me or whatever, but some form of music or art or anything like that, that would be a plus. If she liked the same type of music that I like and just was into music as a whole, oh my God, we don't have to have anything else in common outside of the sex life. I mean, you know. But,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so,
when you write on that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, as far as, you know, people using the term unequally yo, I mean, I don't think that means to say that you have to have everything in alignment with one another as far as agreeing on everything, because I don't care how equally yoked you think you are, it's always going to be something that you're not going to all the way, you know, can apply to or totally agree with. That's why we are individuals. We have our differences. You know, I think the thing that as long as you have a foundation of truths that you both hold dear to and you both have that in common, I think it's very important to have the foundation of the relationship, at least that part, where you both believe in loyalty, honesty, whatever that is for you. For me, it would be loyalty, respect, honesty, you know, being, you know, just true, just being whatever it is, you know, having that love there, you know, those type of things you want to lay down or whatever it is for your foundation to stand on. Everything else you build upon that, there is going to be upon that, it's going to be some bricks that may not lay even with your corner of the bricks. So then you have to put that brick on the other side with the other row and then, you know, build from that point. But I just think that everybody should have something in common. It doesn't have to be a whole lot, even if it's one thing. Now, for to say somebody don't have nothing in common, I never experienced that, and I'm not sure I really want to. But I'm saying for me, I need at least, you got to have something in common. We have to have something.
Right, okay. All right. Sky, are you in here?
Sky is not in.
Okay. All right. Sky hasn't made it in as of yet. And Amy Shell is going to be a little late. So one of the things I did want to bring to the forefront, because I listen to people all the time, and sometimes when I'm out and people are in their familiar groups, they almost are carbon copies of one another. And most of the people that they hang around, you know, other than the fact that they look different from one another, there isn't a whole lot of difference. And they, you know, they monitor and they measure their friendship on and their relationships on how much they have in common. And when they don't really have a lot of things in common, they really don't entertain any individuals. And I think that sometimes we miss out on a lot that we can gain and learn from other people trying to make sure that everything around us is the same, so we don't have to be uncomfortable and feel as if something is different and I won't have to make any change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if anyone out there has anything different that they would like to add to that.
I was going to say also that, too, I think it makes a nice difference when someone can, you know, be in a relationship or you're in a relationship with someone and they're, like, totally different from you. You know, it's, like, almost the opposite, but yet you still have that something in common, because that way I find it more interesting, because you can learn from one another, you know?
Right.
You can learn the differences without being judgmental, because everybody comes from different backgrounds and, you know, grew up differently and different things of that nature. And, you know, whereas you may have done things consistently throughout your life a certain way, you know, and they've done something totally different, it's not for you to look down upon that individual by their difference, but looking at it and say, oh, wow, you know, I never, you know, none of anybody doing it that way. That's interesting. You know, and just make it a part. Don't, you know, shut everything down that you don't know anything about or whatever. And use it as a tool to learn, you know, to learn different aspects of that individual. And in turn, it will help you to understand that person a little bit more. Oh, so that's why they always do things like that, because of this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? Use that as a tool
right.
of learning that individual.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, sometimes when you're just looking for something so much like you, it's almost like you don't want to grow. It's almost like you think you've reached the pinnacle of all that, of the highest height of where you can, and where and how you can evolve. Your one thing in common with your partner may be simply that you both like to bowl, or you both like swimming, so those are the things that you do together, because, again, you don't want to morph into one person. And if you have that much in common, there's really not that much of a difference between you. You don't even have a filter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you simply have someone, you know, almost everything that you agree with, they agree with. And I don't know how I would feel waking up one morning and everything I was saying and everything that I was feeling, my wife was, you know, co-signing an amen into it. You know, I could be dead wrong, but I don't have anybody or anything in my life that's saying, you know, that's not right, and there should be some difference, and, you know, you can grow beyond this, or you know, let's see where we can, how we can grow in this together. If you know, we're already at our ultimate, where we think we are already at our best, and, you know, where do we go from here, and how long can we keep anything growing and alive in the relationship if we are both content and settled with who we are as individuals and don't think that we need to grow any further.
Right.
So I'm going to open it up to the floor to some callers and see if there's anyone out there that has anything they might want to add or anything they might want to say, or if they're just content with letting Janet and I talk all night.
Well, I just want to add one thing. Yeah, I totally agree with both of you guys, but how boring to me that would be to just be with myself all day, and that's what it sounds like it would be like if, you know, everything I liked, everything I did, every thought that I had, my partner had. I mean, to me, that would be just the ultimate bore after a while, because there's absolutely no way you can do any growing, none at all. You are there. That's it. There is no more. There's nothing coming. There's nothing new. There's nothing ventured. There's nothing gained. I just can't even imagine being in any sort of a relationship like that. Definitely not a marriage or a sexual relationship with someone, let alone, I wouldn't even want a friend like that, that just mirrored me. No, I just, I imagine that there are people that do. I don't know how they do it, but to each his own, I suppose. That's my two cents on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, like, even in groups, you know, we can get into groups sometimes, and you have people, and they develop their little cliques within the group, and anytime anybody comes in that's different, or anytime anybody says something that's different, then it turns into a war and a battle, as if, you know, you can't have a different mindset. And they're quick to throw out the fact that, you know, it should be freedom of speech, except for when you're speaking against something that they believe in totally, then they believe that, you know, you're cutting off their freedom while they're attempting to cut off yours.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships and friendships and going into trying to build a new relationship, all of those things can start to take on that same kind of weight as cliques and as little friendship groups, because, you know, you get comfortable in certain positions and comfortable in so many different ways where you get to a point where you're not growing and you really don't want the person you're with to grow. You don't want difference in your life, so you have these lists. When you before you enter into a relationship, you know, if some people could really bring, and if you could read their minds and look at the things that are going on, when you're on your first couple of dates with them, you start seeing things that I need to know whether or not they have a car and what kind of car, because, you know, they can't have a car less than mine, because I don't want to ride in no car like that. I need to know if they have a house. I need to know if they have, I need to know, you know, do you need to have someone in your life
who has attended college because you have a college degree, or do you need someone in your life who can who has intellect, whether they went to college or not? Which one are you seeking? You're seeking someone you can communicate with, or you're seeking someone that you can lay your accolades with side by side? You know, what is your measuring stick? You know, how are you measuring intellect? How are you measuring intelligence? So, you know, you have people who won't date someone who hasn't gone to college because they have a college degree. But that person might have the knowledge of someone who went to college and never graced the college campus, because that's not the only place you can gain knowledge from.
That's right.
So, you know, when we're looking for commonalities, you know, we can't be so stringent on the commonality and how the commonality comes and what form it comes to us in. Again, we're talking about looking for someone just like you may not be what's best for you in the long run, and how we can apply that, and if, you know, we are working with that, or do we just look for a carbon copy of ourselves. So the floor is open again. This is an open floor. We allow you to use your name, or if you want to just use your area code and the last four digits of your number, whichever you're comfortable with. This is a safe space, and we make sure that everyone remains respectful. Anyone have any comments on what either what has been said or what the topic is about tonight? I think Sky is with us at this point.
I am. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you,
hey,
Sky?
I'm good.
So, Sky, do you have anything that you'd like to add, or maybe you haven't heard, so something you may want to say?
I heard a little bit of it. It reminded me of something that happened in one of my group meetings where we had a discussion, and I said to them, I said, love doesn't always look like what you think it might look like. One person, she had a type, and that's all she looked for. She didn't go outside that box of her type, and she was never successful. So it was about, well, maybe you need to step outside your box. And she goes, no, I know what I like. I know what I want. So that she's going to stay in her box. She's still not successful in her relationship. So what I was trying to say to her was, maybe what you have in your mind as your person is not the right one for you. Maybe you need to look outside and look at other qualities of a person. Expand yourself. She's not open to that. She disagrees, but I think it's foolish.
Now, my father used to say that all or nothing people normally, for the most part, end up with nothing. Because when you think in terms of all of what it is that I have to have, or I want nothing at all, the possibility of getting all is so much lower than the possibility of ending up with nothing.
Yeah, her language is, I'm not going to lower my standards. And I'm telling her, it's not about lowering your standards, or maybe they're unrealistic. Maybe this person doesn't exist. You know, I told her just to think about that. She's sticking to her guns.
But also, too, maybe they do exist, but just that person that she's looking for, maybe they're not interested in somebody like her. Maybe they got another standard that they're looking
for.
There you go.
That's a
possibility. There you go. There you go. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. So, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, when you start asking yourself questions about how important is having everything in common, or 80% in common, or 75% in common, or even 50% in common is to you, are you willing to go below the 50% line? And if you aren't, really ask yourself the question as to why not. Because there is never, ever, ever anything in life that says each and every individual that you meet in your life, in order for you to have a healthy and fruitful and growing relationship, you guys have to meet eye to eye on all things. There, for me, and I'm just going to speak of myself, there is nothing more thrilling and more important to me than having someone who is not afraid to say, Minister Dupree, I don't agree with you. I love you, but I don't agree with you. And then we sit down and say, you can't just say I don't. We sit down and I'm going to say to you, then why not? And now we're engaged in a discussion for us both to be open to learning something new and different.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm like a sponge. I love learning. I don't think I'll ever know enough. So if you tell me that, you know, something isn't, I'm going to say why, you know, and I'm not going to let you get off with just because. That's what I think. No, why? There's a reason why you think that. So, you know, and I know my wife, it was, earlier in our relationship, she would say all the time, we don't agree on anything. I would say that's not true. We just probably haven't come across those things that we do agree upon. And when we do, we have those aha moments. But for the most part, we both have our own minds. We have our own environment that we grew up. We have our own expansion on the world. So there are going to be a lot of times where we're not going to meet eye to eye on the things that we're saying. Does that mean we can't be a wonderful growing and have a wonderful growing and loving relationship? No, it doesn't mean that. Because just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean we're arguing. We're just having a discussion of differences.
I once dated someone a couple years ago that they would tell me just because I would not agree with them, they would, you know, turn around and say, you never have my back. What does me agreeing or not agreeing with you? That doesn't mean I don't have your back. I'm disagreeing with what you just said.
Right.
So I don't understand how people say I don't have their back just because I disagree with something they said. You know what I mean? So, and it's just how people think. I don't get it. See, if we don't even have where we both have common sense or anything like that, that's not going to work. I don't care how much we like music or enjoy sex together and all this other stuff. If you don't have a measure of common sense, that's not going to work. Sorry.
Well, common sense aren't so common anymore.
No, it's really not.
And we live in a society where you're picking sides, you know. And I mean, if you just look at, let's just look at the things that are going on in the world right now. No one can really, people really refuse to stand in the middle and actually process things well enough to be able to say, you have a point there, and I see your point. You know, it's not, you know, you against me or them against us. And we're thinking in society now as a them against us, either you're with me or you're against me kind of concept. And that's because we're not in a growing space at this moment. We are very stagnant as a society. And growth would mean that you're willing to embrace difference. And so, and how we function out in the real world is what we bring to our homes and to our relational lives, you know. We function in our relational lives the way we function out, you know, in the everyday world, and it should be different. We should have differences with, you know, everyone we encounter. We can't deal with everyone in the same way. So, you know, if I don't agree with what you're saying, then, you know, I'm not going to like on your Facebook page. I'm not going to click on nothing. I'm not going to support you in anything. I'm not, simply because you believe and think something different than I do. And that's absolutely ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everybody is in a battle all the time, everybody's in a state of dis-ease. And life is about the living and being in a state of peace.
It is for me, yes.
anyone out in the audience that have anything they might want to add or throw something in there in the pot for us to stir about? Any of my co-hosts have anything they want to bring to the table with regard to this subject matter that we can stir up a bit, put it on the plate and see how it tastes?
Yeah, I threw the meat in there. You just go ahead and season it up real good and let it simmer. Let the folks just get off. Let me stop right there.
Well, if I might, this is 8828.
Okay.
I believe it was Janet had said something about, you know, being in a relationship at some point in time where someone she didn't agree with, didn't think she had their back. And for me, because that comment kind of comes up quite a bit, you know, in relationships, you don't have my back, yada, yada, yada. I think that though you and your partner may have differences, depending on what that difference is, I don't think it needs to be shown to other people, because if it is at that point in time, a person may feel like they don't have the support of their partner. See, what I do is I will tell my partner privately, you know, what you did wasn't cool, you know, that I just think there could have been a better way, depending on what the situation was. But in front of other people, I'm going to stand united. I may not say anything because I'm not going to, you know, just lie, but I'm going to try to present a front as one. But in private, I'm going to let them know, you know, that wasn't cool. But, you know, I always got you. So, you know, wrong or right, I got you. But I just want to let you know how I feel about that. And I think if people would maybe do some more of that, then people wouldn't feel like they don't have the support of their partner. Because no, everybody wants somebody to be in their corner, no matter what your differences are. So everybody, I believe, everybody wants somebody that they can say, I know without a doubt, they have me, they have my back, they're going to take care of me, and they're going to be there for me. They're going to go to battle with me, and we're going to go to war together, you know, and not separately. And that's my two cents on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I get that. I do understand that totally, and I totally agree with you. However, I was dealing with somebody from a different breed. And the situation was, we were riding in the car, and she saw somebody on the bike, and then they got off the bike and started walking the bike. And she says to me, that person is going to the pawn shop. They stole that bike. I'm like, how did you know? That doesn't mean they stole the bike just because, you know. Well, see, you don't never have my back when I say something. Now, that was just stupid. I'm sorry. This had nothing to do with you being in the forefront of people and, you know, being embarrassed and I don't have your back. No, I don't agree with you. You know,
okay.
It's like, and I don't like people who just highly speculate stuff, and then, you know, that man just tired. Maybe he was tired. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
Okay, let me get off and just walk the bike. She had it, the
yeah.
man, I tell her, every time she started a story, she can see anything. A kid playing in the street, she then wrote a whole motion picture about that one scene right there. That's how she was. So, but I get you.
Okay, I feel you on that bit. Yeah, she's a little different.
Oh, man, that was deep. I try to, when I do my sessions, I try to explain to couples in this manner. Consider yourself and your partner a kingdom. And in that kingdom, in order for that kingdom to function properly, they have to have different people doing different things. If everyone in the kingdom did the same thing, the vast majority of the kingdom would go undone.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same manner, you have to consider when you're choosing a partner, not so much what complements all of your good points, but you need to find someone that can complement your bad points. See, that weakness that you may have, you need someone who has strength in that area. You don't want to have someone in your life, may it be a friend or anyone else, even a business. You don't want everybody in that relationship to have the same weakness. Because now you can't help one another. There's no one to hold up the other when you're tired, when things happen, when, you know, you can't be up all the time. If you both suffer from the same dis-ease, then more than likely there are going to be a lot of points and areas in your relationship that are going to be left undone and untouched. Because there's no one in the relationship that can handle that aspect of it. And that's one of the main reasons why everything does not need to be in common.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not good with money, you need somebody in that relationship that is.
Child, I ain't got to be no accountant to be good with money.
If you're not good at cleaning, somebody in there needs to be good.
Right.
You know, it's just with everything that you can point out, somebody has to be able to do whatever you're weak at. And if you're both carbon copies of one another, then that means, again, things are going undone. Neither one of us can cook. We in trouble.
Neither one of us can swim.
We in trouble. And we're going to go down hard. Because we're going to be fighting each other trying to save ourselves if neither one of us gets left.
I'm getting the boat. Or, and put a life jacket on. If I can't do that, then I won't be in there. Neither will she, because I would hate to tell her, look, I'm going to throw you a rope. If you don't grab it, it's a wrap. I'll see you when I see you.
Oh,
I know somebody got to tell the story, right?
Look, I'm gonna tell you something. I told my son when he was younger. But my son is an awesome swimmer now. But I told him when he was younger, you know, don't you fall in that water? Don't you get in that water? Stay away from there because I cannot swim. And I let him know if you go in that water, I'm gonna run to help. I'm not going in there. Ain't gonna need both of us dying. But anyway, that's another story.
My wife always
baby, I'm
going to
tell you something. I don't play when it comes to my life. I do not play. You don't play. Because you didn't want your life if you jumped in there knowing you couldn't swim. So don't make me put mine out there. But, hey, I get you on that, though. Some things,
they got to
use wisdom.
That reminds me of a story, Janet. my wife will go and open the door like she's not afraid of anything, but she will close that door real quick if you see so, you know, and I'm the total opposite. My wife will not step outside that door, but if I think I've heard someone knock at the door or something and I look through the peephole and I can't see them, I will open the door and I will step out. I went and I walked around the side of the house one time, and this is my wife, and she had my back, but it was in a very interesting
way. She had your
way
back.
And I was just like, oh, my God. But I came
back
from around the house, and she didn't know it was me, so I was moving real fast. My wife, before I could get my hand on the doorknob, she had closed the door and locked it.
I can only imagine.
So I rang the doorbell. Do you think this woman opened the door? She looked through the peephole. Yes.
No, she did not. That's funny.
I said, oh, my God. I wasn't. She said, somebody has to tell the story.
Well, I know that's right.
But,
although
we have things in common, my wife and I, we have things that are very, very different. But we complement one another, because on things that I could be extremely hardened about, she's extremely softened about, and vice versa. So we kind of complement one another. We don't have so much in common where we don't have space for growth in our relationship. I'm going to open the floor up. We're just waiting for people out in the audience to ask some questions. I'm going to throw some stuff out at Sky and Janet if no one says anything. I see you guys sitting out there. You're just sitting and listening. So, Sky and Janet, I would say this. If what do you think about navigating, how does one navigate the waters in relationships when you don't have a lot in common, but the things that you do have in common are key?
Well, I would say it would take someone that that have that type of trust in the other person, know how, whether they, because if they don't know a certain direction that they're going in or what, you know, what have you, whatever, I think it just takes a level of trust, one being more confident than the other one. If they don't know, I mean, all it takes is just one. I don't know, and I think with that, I don't know if it has to go with the flow, because you know what, really, when you're in a situation, you know, or a relationship, and, you know, you both don't have a whole lot in common, and, you know, like I said, you just kind of, like, find things that you do, like, enjoy. It's all about walking through life, walking through the journey together, and you're saying, wow, okay, you may have tried something, even if it's something you've never done before in your life, and she's never done before in her life, and the fact that you tried together, and it's something you found out that you really love, okay, you already developed something that, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not. I feel like I'm rattling, but, okay, Sky, on you. I was all over the place.
Yeah. I'm going to start with saying, well, I work with clients that are in committed relationships or those that are entering into committed relationships. And I make the distinction because when you're just dating someone, you know, it's different from when you have committed to someone. The language is different. How you communicate is different. And I tell my clients, you know, once you've committed, the difference is love is patient, love is kind. It might be something that's really going to irritate you, but you come to a place of this is just who she is, this is just who he is, and I'm not going to try and change him. When you come with that way of thinking, it's a lot easier to deal with a person because the expectation of them changing is gone, and you've accepted who they are, just as they have accepted you for who you are. So I'm saying that to say the differences will become a little bit easier to deal with, and when you are communicating with that person, don't come from a defensive place. It might sound ridiculous to you, but just ask questions. Why do you feel that way? Okay, and come from an empathetic way of thinking, too. Just try to put yourself in their place and say, okay, I can see where you're coming from. A lot of times that'll diffuse a lot of things if you put yourself in their place and think about how they might come to that conclusion. And because we're all different, we all have our quirks. We all have our little things that might nag or annoy somebody. Some things, yeah, you might want to work on changing, but a lot of times it's just who we are. And when you're with your partner, you should be able to feel safe to be who you are and not judged and jumped on whenever you say something that they, you know, feel is ridiculous or they don't want to hear. So you have to create that space with each other where you can be yourself and just understand and recognize differences and try to approach it differently. Accept each other for who they are. If they're that way, that's just who they are. And then you just move from that direction.
And then really it's not about changing them as much as it is about you deciding whether or not you can deal with who they are. Rather than make them feel bad about themselves or try to change them, really put the onus on yourself. Is this something I can deal with? And you change what you're doing. You know, you change whether or not you're going to be in that relationship instead of trying to turn the person into who you want them to be, because it's going to be a battle and it's not going to be pretty. So I tell people all the time, sometimes I come from a very spiritual aspect of things. You know, nothing in this world is created exactly the same. So why are you looking for someone exactly like you? There is so much beauty, and every time you pull a leaf off the tree, you can't find one that matches it exactly. There is so much beauty in the fact that someone that you could love so much could not match you exactly, but you fit so well together if you just give it the space to fall into the groove and allow a ceiling to occur. You know, sometimes the things we think we should have in life aren't things that are good for us. And the very things that we try to avoid are some of the best things in life that we could come across. If we want our people to be authentic and be their true selves, then we have to be willing to embrace them in their authenticity. Not one of us sitting on this panel, not one of the hosts on this show are exactly alike. Do we have things in common? Yes, we do. But are we exactly alike? No, but we can come on this show with all of our differences and walk away and still be the way we are with one another on a day-to-day basis. Nobody in their feelings, nobody's mad, no one's upset. You disagree, you disagree. You put out there why you disagree, and I can respect that. And that's how we have to be in relationships. While we're looking for everything to be exactly, it's almost like we're not growing past Sky and Janet. It's almost like we as adults never want to get past the toddler phase. And, you know, the toddlers, everything is me, my, I. And we never want to get past that phase in life. We want to stay in the toddler phase. I want it my way. It has to be what I want. You know, it's me, it's my way or the highway. You know, these are all of the terms that people are using in relationships. And none of those are positive terms to say to someone you love. And they're not healthy. We're going to build bridges to cross to meet. We don't want to build wedges. We don't want to put wedges between us, may it be friendships or love relationships. You want to build bridges. You want to be able to meet. You want to cross over to one another. You know, relationships are like elastic. If you allow it to be in its natural state, it pulls in all directions. We want to use bamboo, you know. We bend and not break. You know, you want those kinds of things. We think that if we bend with one another, that makes us weak. We got so many things going on that society is feeding to us by a shovel. That, you know, we don't know what we're looking for anymore in relationships. We don't know if we want them to be just like us or totally different. We don't know anymore. And we walk into that dating arena not knowing or thinking we have a good idea. And as Guy said earlier, it's unrealistic whether the person exists, but we're not what they look for if the person doesn't exist at all. It's just unrealistic. We can't map out life because life has too many twists and turns to think you can map it out. You got to be able to lean when you're supposed to lean, because sometimes when you hit a curve, you can't stay upright or you'll crash. You got to lean into that curve. That's my spiel for the day, guys. I'm going to leave the floor to you guys, because that's my spiel for the day.
Lean in the pen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a song, Janet.
Oh, it is. You know I know. Ee-ba-ba-da-da-bo-sha.
Yeah, so, you know, and I understand what Sky is saying 100% because we do set up standards that not only box people in, but it boxes us out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes boxes work both ways. You know, you can box yourself in and box other people out.
Yeah, it is very
yeah.
true.
Yeah, yeah. So, Sky, what about going into relationships with preconceived notions about, you know, how a relationship should be and what a relationship should be? Can we talk on that for a minute or two?
Yeah, I think we all do that, and I think it's a good idea to think about the type of relationship you want and be in. It's not a bad thing, but you have to understand that it might not be exactly that way because, like we said, everybody's different, and you have to be able, you have to open yourself for those changes, that it might not look exactly like what you had in mind. But if it's something you can work with, you can bend with, that you can adjust to, you know, like you said, I like the phrase you used, finding your groove with somebody and getting into that natural flow is a beautiful thing. When you do have differences and you're open to grow and work through them, it's an amazing thing because that happens, you grow, you learn patience. And that brings you and your partner closer together, and it strengthens the bond there. So it's a challenge, but it's not one that has to be a constant battle. I think as you work through things, you do fall into a certain flow or a certain rhythm, and it becomes really nice and sweet. And I think that's what couples need to work toward.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. I like a lot of things that have been said tonight, and I think that we put a lot of food on the table, and we don't try to force feed anyone upon it. We let you take what you need and what you want from the table, and you can always come back and listen to the show again. If there's something that, you know, you want to come back to, you can go on to Blog Talk Radio, and you can like so that you can go in and listen to all of the back recordings and maybe something you missed and you want to feedback on that could help you not only in your relationships but somehow in life. One of the things I do want to also put out on the table for Janet and Sky to speak on is when you find that groove, how not allowing the fear of thinking that there is no other groove that you can grow into and mold into the relationship that would keep you from continuing to find things that you have in common, because sometimes what you don't have in common at the beginning of the relationship may be something that you will have in common in the middle of the relationship or as years and time go on, because, you know, I don't see relationships as temporary, and that's just me personally. I see relationships as something that can go on until you don't want to go on in it any longer. We are what stop relationships from moving forward. We are what stop relationships from growing. So I think that once that we get comfortable because we found one groove, that we should not be fearful of moving from that one groove and seeking another groove, because you think, oh, if we move, then we won't have things in common anymore. So let me run back to that. And I want you ladies to give some enlightenment on that, if you can.
You said you want us to shed some enlightenment on the last part.
Yes, on what I just said. if there's any enlightenment that you would have for that, any advice on, you know, not being fearful once you find something that you have in common, not wanting to continue to seek and find other things in common.
Well, I think it's important whenever you're in a relationship. I think it's very important for you to evolve as a couple. I don't think it's healthy to just stay stagnated in one spot, you know, for 3 years, 4 years, and you have your relationship has not grown to anything more. You just kind of stayed in the comfort zone of just being, well, yeah, she likes this, and I like that, and I just let her do her thing, she let me do my thing, or whatever, and we're okay with that, and blah, 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 blah. I think you should evolve. I think you should learn new things, try new things, experience new things together, things that the both of you have never experienced before. I think it's important to even try to venture out and do some of those things. And in that way, you'll find more things that you may have in common. You may never knew that you liked playing darts because you never played darts before. You know what I mean? You never knew that playing pool was so fun. I mean, you did it when you was a kid, but it wasn't a big deal. So when as you got older, you know, you and your wife or you and your partner, you know, kind of got into it, just playing around shooting pool, and you were like, wow, babe, I really like this. We should do this every weekend. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that we do together. Find things that you have a common ground with, something that you, because you never know if you haven't done it. You only know the things that you've been exposed to. So I think that's very, very important. And as you develop in your relationship, you know, and as you grow, you're going to want to, the love that you have for your partner, you're going to want to do things more together as a couple to bring forth, you know, bring that blossom out in your relationship, you know, to make that flower bloom, to make it really, really, let it be all that it can be. Is your relationship, you know, still got a few little buds and pebbles on it? Or you've been in it for 5 years now, or is it really blossoming? And you got more leaves that's coming out and sprouting and making more blooms and stuff like that. That's what you want to see happen in your relationship. It should not be stagnant, you know. Talk, communicate. You find a way to communicate, because everybody I found too, and that can be a problem in the relationship, is where everybody they communicate differently. Some people don't communicate in the same way. Some people don't know how to express themselves effectively. They don't know how to effectively communicate. So when you got one person that says, baby, tell me how you feel when I do this. How does this make you feel? You know what I mean? And that person might come off and say, well, yeah, you know, this is how it makes me feel when you do this or you do that or whatever, but I'm okay with it now because that's just you. No, but I don't want it to be me if that's going to hurt you. If what I'm doing is hurting you, I'm going to stop. Those type of things cause growth in a relationship, and not so, well, it's been me ever since I was a child. I'm not changing for nobody. This is just who I am. Take it or leave it. You know what I'm saying? Those are things that, growth spurts. Find out what it is that's going to cause growth and that it's not going to kill you to change it, and then bloom. Let it blossom.
Sky?
Yeah, you're going to have to take time. I tell clients you have to look at the coupling as an adventure because it is an adventure, and I want to share a personal experience. My partner and I, when we were dating, when we got to the point of looking at seriously committing, I had to really sit down and think about it. She was difficult. And I knew that going in. I knew that. And I remember writing in Facebook, it was about 2 a.m. as I was thinking about it, when I decided to go forward, I wrote in my status on Facebook, walking into the fire knowingly. And people were asking me, what does that mean? What does that mean? I just left it alone. But what it meant was I knew it was going to be a challenge. You know, I knew her heart was good, though. It wasn't anything ridiculous where, you know, anything abusive or disrespectful. She was just, you know, there were challenges there I knew I would have to deal with. And very different personalities. And I went in with the mindset, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be all these things. and it turned out to be beautiful. Unfortunately, she passed. It'll be a year in September that she transitioned. But what we developed in that time and coming in with that mindset, and she had it as well because I could be difficult too, you know, but we were patient with each other, and we got that flow, that that groove that you talked about, Minister. And it felt good. It felt good that you're able to go past those things and not react. You know, you can't always react to things. You have to step back, you know, and let things go through you instead of reacting, and just hear each other. And it can turn into a beautiful flow. And it's a continuous thing. You have to remember as a relationship, even once you get into that flow, you have to continue remembering that. You know, and then it's just automatic. It becomes automatic that you are patient and kind with each other once you get into that rhythm. And it's worth it. It's a beautiful thing. So just keep trying. Just be aware of what you're doing and try not to react to everything and not be so defensive. And I think you can reach that place.
Yeah. I like the analogies that everyone is using tonight. I'm gonna speak on that fire that you said. You know, you said walking into the fire knowingly. Is that how you said it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, because sometimes people think fire destroys everything, but there are some things that can go into the fire, and it makes it beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, when they're making glass goes into the fire. When they're making anything of ceramics go into the fire. And sometimes you can go into the fire and not get burned and come out extremely beautiful, you know. You can bronze things in the fire. So walking into the fire sometimes isn't a negative thing.
Come forth
and
you,
it turned out to be a beautiful thing for you, Sky. And
yeah,
I do want to say that I am sorry for your loss, and I know you'll be coming up upon that anniversary, and it'll be a tough and a hard time for you, and I'll be praying for you through that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But one of the things that, is someone saying something? Okay, maybe I'm getting a little feedback. One of the things that I do want to throw out before we end the discussion for the night is that fear will make us not reach out for things that will help us grow, you know, and everything that's worth something is always a reach, you know. You don't really feel the same way about those things that are just thrown at you and given to you. You reach for brass rings, and when you are picking fruit, you don't pick up the fruit off the ground. You reach up and you pull that fruit off the tree. That's the best fruit. If it's fallen on the ground, it's overripe and it's really not good anymore. Even though it's still edible, it's really not good anymore. The fruit that's on the ground isn't good. So everything that can bring something good to you is a reach. So sometimes finding a partner and finding someone in your life to spend the rest of your life with or to spend a moment of your life with needs to be a reach. And I'm not saying to be out of your pool, your dating pool. When I say a reach, not have so much in common with you, to be different. You know, not that you don't need anything in common at all, but to have some differences. So there's something for you both to reach for. There's something that you both can grow and learn from. And there's nothing more fulfilling in a relationship than learning from one another, because that's bonding time. So don't miss out on great bonding time trying to find someone who's just like you, because there's no reason for you to bond. Then you'll be sitting there with the television going on, you both have your TV trays, or somebody's in another room meeting, because you got everything in common. You don't need to spend any time with one another, because I already know you. You're just like me. I know myself. I know you. Boom. So why
spend any time. I already know what you're going to say. I already know what you're going to do. And it's not because they've gotten to learn and know you that well. It's because you're just like them. So as we wrap up, I want to say thank you to everyone for tuning in again tonight. And I want to thank my co-hosts, Janet, Sky, and Amy Shell. I believe I saw her log in here. She hasn't said anything yet. But I want to thank you guys. And it's always a pleasure talking with my co-hosts and listening to the people who dial in and say a good word. You guys have a wonderful night. Be blessed and be well. Love you. Peace.
Thanks.
Good night.
You do the same. Good night.
All right.